Welcome back to the Deep Dive. It is February 2026.
Wow.
The year is absolutely flying by, isn't it?
It really is.
And honestly, the tech world right now, it feels like it's just vibrating. We are looking at this massive, kind of messy, but incredibly detailed stack of leaks.
All about the upcoming Windows 12.
Exactly. And I have to say, reading through these documents, these internal memos and diagrams, it feels less like a standard OS update and more like we've, I don't know, stepped into a different timeline.
It really does. You know, usually when we talk Windows updates, we're talking about, what, rounded corner?
Oh, new icon set.
Maybe a slightly faster search bar. You know,
yeah.
Incremental stuff. But this is a fundamental shift in the relationship between the user and the machine.
Yeah.
It's one of those rare moments where the tech shifts from a tool you use to something that's actively participating in your life.
Participating or interfering.
Well, that's the question, isn't
it? We will get to that. So, for everyone listening, here's our mission today. We are doing a deep dive into the source material that has the whole industry arguing. Mm. We've got leaked early builds, internal roadmap documents, and some really sharp analysis on this new core PC architecture.
Yeah.
And the headline, the thing we really need to unpack, is Windows 12, Copilot Vision and the Surveillance Frontier.
And that title alone, the Surveillance Frontier, it really sets the stage.
It does.
We're here to unpack a very heavy question. What happens when your operating system gains eyes?
Because that is literally what these sources are describing. This isn't just about a smarter chatbot.
No.
It's about the trade-off between this extreme, almost magical convenience and, well, having a corporate entity looking over your shoulder 24/7.
Precisely. It's that classic tension, capability versus privacy, but just dialed up to 11. We're talking about an OS that moves from being passive to being proactive.
Okay, so let's get into it. I want to start right at the top with the feature that's scaring some people, and I mean, absolutely exhilarating others. The documents call it Copilot Vision.
This is the centerpiece. It's the hero feature of the whole release.
Okay, so help me out here. We've had Copilot for a few years. We've had chatbots, sidebar assistants. I use them. They're fine.
Right.
How is Vision different? Is this just a better version of what we already have?
No, this is a categorical leap. Think about how you use AI right now.
Okay.
Even the really advanced stuff from last year. If you want help, you have to initiate it. You highlight text, you copy it, you paste it in a box, you type a prompt.
Right. There's a bridge you have to cross. You have to translate what you're thinking into a command.
You have to translate your intent, Copilot Vision. It burns that bridge.
It removes the step of asking.
Completely. The source material explains that this system gives Windows 12 eyes. It uses what we call multimodal processing to see and analyze everything on your screen in real time.
Okay, real time is the phrase that just jumped out at me in the docs. So it's not looking at a file I gave it. It's looking at my screen as I'm using it.
Correct. It is watching your pixels. As you scroll, as you switch tabs, as you watch a video.
As I hover my mouse over something.
Exactly. It creates a continuous rolling context of your digital life. It understands what you're doing, not just what you're typing.
That is intense.
Yeah.
And honestly, a little creepy, but let's hold the judgment for a second.
Sure.
Let's unpack the what. The sources gave some specific use cases that were, in terms of utility, pretty mind-blowing.
Oh, they're fascinating examples. The tutorial one is probably the easiest to grasp. Let's say you're watching a YouTube video on how to fix a leaky sink.
Okay, classic use case. I'm under the sink, my laptop's balanced on the trash can, my hands are all wet.
Usually the computer just sees video player.x is running. It doesn't know what's playing. But with Copilot Vision, the AI is actually processing the video frames. It identifies the wrench, it recognizes the type of pipe, it hears the audio. So if you pause, it might proactively pop up and say, that looks like a 12 millimeter nut. Do you want me to search for that at a local hardware store?
Without me typing a single thing.
Not a single keystroke. It's watching the video with you. It understands you're in repair mode and just offers help.
Okay, I can see the utility there.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if my hands are covered in grease.
Right.
But there was another example about coding that seemed even more advanced.
Yes, the developer angle. The leaks describe a scenario where you have a script open in VS Code. Vision understands the context of that code instantly.
Okay.
But it's not just reading the text, it's also seeing the error state in the terminal window next to it.
Oh, I see.
So you don't have to highlight the bug and ask what's wrong. It sees the red text, it reads the code, it correlates the two, and just offers a fix proactively.
Proactive seems to be the buzzword in all these internal docs.
That's the game changer. It creates a frictionless experience. The computer anticipates your needs because it shares your vantage point. It removes the cognitive load of having to explain your problem.
The machine already sees the problem.
Yeah, already sees it.
And there's a shopping example too, right?
Yeah.
Which feels like where they're going to make their money.
Well, of course. That's the commercial angle. If you're browsing a store, it recognizes products on the screen visually. It's not just reading the website code. It's looking at the image of the sneaker.
So it could instantly compare prices.
Instantly. Or find reviews, suggest alternatives, whatever.
So the promise here, the why behind all this is removing friction. It's the ultimate digital executive assistant.
Exactly. I mean, think how many times you've had to screenshot something, crop it, save it, upload it, just to ask, what is this haunt?
Right.
Windows 12 just knows. It's looking at it with you.
That is undeniably convenient. I can admit that.
Mm.
But, and I think you know where I'm going, seeing isn't magic.
No, it's data processing.
And that brings us to a really important distinction the sources make. We need to talk about vision versus recall.
Yes, this is crucial because I think a lot of listeners might be confusing the two.
Right. I remember recall. That was the feature that made headlines a while back,
mm-hmm.
and not in a good way. It was basically recording your screen history.
Correct. Recall was about memory. It worked by taking periodic snapshots, static images, and storing them. It let you scroll back in time and say, what was I looking at 3 days ago?
It was a searchable archive of screenshots, a photographic memory for your PC, but it was looking backwards.
Exactly. Static, looking backwards. The source material is very clear that vision is fundamentally different. It's about active, real-time perception.
Perception versus memory. Break that down for us.
Okay, think of it this way. Recall is like looking through a photo album.
Right.
Vision is like looking through a window.
Oh, that's a great analogy.
Yeah. Vision isn't storing a picture. It is interpreting the live data stream. It's identifying objects, context, relationships in the moment. And this is where the hardware comes in.
The MPU.
The documents heavily emphasize the role of the MPU, the neural processing unit.
We've been hearing about NPUs for a few years. Every laptop has that AI-ready sticker.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, it's felt like marketing fluff.
It did, but this is the killer app for it. This isn't processing happening in the cloud. It's happening dynamically on your device's hardware. The NPU is crunching those pixels, reading text, understanding what's going on.
Locally.
Locally, frame by frame, which is critical for two reasons. One, latency. You can't have a 2-second delay for real-time help.
And two,
privacy.
And to privacy.
Okay, let's pivot to that because local processing is impressive, technically.
Man.
But even if it's local, the whole concept of my computer analyzing everything I see, it just triggers a visceral reaction.
It should. And that brings us right to the section of the analysis that's labeled the surveillance OS.
Yeah. Not a subtle nickname.
No, it is not. And it reflects the very real anxiety that privacy advocates and, frankly, just regular users are feeling.
Yeah.
When you say an OS has eyes, you're also saying it's watching. So what are the specific fears? I mean, if the data stays on the laptop, why the panic? Microsoft says it's local.
Well, think about what's on your screen all day. It's not just YouTube videos and sneakers.
Right. Everything.
Everything. The sources list some huge red flags. Private chats, for one. If you're having a confidential conversation on Signal or WhatsApp, the AI sees it to understand the context.
It reads the breakup text.
It reads the vent about your boss.
Banking details.
Exactly. You open your banking dashboard, the AI sees your balance, your transaction history. It has to function. It doesn't know to look away.
Sensitive work documents, medical records.
Trade secrets, legal strategies. If it's on the screen, Copilot Vision theoretically perceives it.
Mm-hmm.
And the fear isn't just about Microsoft seeing it. It's about the attack surface.
The attack surface. Explain that.
Well, if there's a mechanism in the OS that can read and interpret every pixel on the screen, what happens if a hacker hijacks it? Right. Suddenly, malware isn't just logging your keystrokes. It's watching a live stream of your entire digital life. It turns the helper into the ultimate spy.
It could interpret your screen and send out the meaning, not the pixels.
Uh-huh.
User is looking at Bank of America. Balance is $50,000.
That is the nightmare scenario. Now, to be fair, the sources say Microsoft has a defense.
Right. They have a stated policy.
According to the leaks, their position is that session data is deleted immediately.
Deleted immediately.
That's the claim. It processes the moment. Oh, you're looking at a wrench and then poof, the memory of that moment is gone. It doesn't store the video feed. It's ephemeral.
But the analysis we're looking at says, quote, skepticism remains at an all-time high. Why don't people believe them?
because history has made us cynical, and because software has bugs.
True.
Even if the intent is to delete the data, what about metadata? What about training data derived from your actions? And, you know, once the infrastructure for surveillance is built, policies can always change.
Right. Today, it's deleted immediately. Tomorrow, after a terms of service update, it's stored for 30 days to improve your experience.
Exactly. And the sources also talk about the opt-in mechanics. Microsoft will almost certainly make this optional to start. They know people are wary.
Which is the standard safety valve.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, don't turn it on.
But the analysis points out something deeper. Even if it's opt-in, if the entire OS is designed around this feature, if all the best tools and shortcuts rely on vision, are you really free to opt out?
You become a second-class digital citizen if you care about privacy. You're just using the dumb version of the OS.
Precisely. And what about the workplace? In a corporate environment, will you even have a choice?
Oh, good point.
If your boss wants you to use the proactive AI to boost efficiency by 20%, you can't exactly say, no thanks, I value my privacy.
That creates a massive pressure to conform. It becomes a job requirement.
And that's where the surveillance frontier really hits home. It's not just about what the computer sees. It's about normalizing being watched by your tools.
This tension isn't just happening in, you know, Reddit threads or our heads. There's a legal storm brewing.
The regulatory reality.
Let's zoom out. It's 2026. What's the legal landscape look like?
We have to look at Europe, the EU factor.
Of course, the heavyweight champion of tech regulation.
They really are. And in 2026, the EU AI Act is in full swing. This isn't a proposal anymore. It's the law.
And how does that act interact with something like Copilot Vision?
Poorly. Or at least with great difficulty. The Act has specific categories for high-risk AI, and systems that monitor behavior or process sensitive data, they fall under very strict scrutiny.
An eye that watches your screen 24/7 sounds pretty high-risk to me.
It does. The Act imposes strict transparency rules. It demands to know how data is processed, what's stored, the risks involved. There's a fundamental conflict between a black box AI that interprets your private life and a legal framework that demands total transparency.
So what's the consequence?
A
massive fine.
It could be more drastic. The sources actually discuss the possibility of Microsoft being forced to disable Copilot Vision in Europe. Entirely.
Wow. So Windows 12 in Paris would function fundamentally differently than Windows 12 in San Francisco.
That is the concept of fragmentation, a fragmented OS experience globally. If you live in the EU, you might get the core upgrade, but the vision eyes are just plucked out.
That is wild to think about. We used to think of software as borderless, standardized.
Not anymore. It's really the theme of 2026. AI ambition meets regulatory reality. Tech companies want to push the envelope, but governments are drawing lines in the sand.
It really feels like a crossroads.
Yeah.
But before we get too doom and gloom, the sources do make a point to say that Windows 12 isn't only about the scary AI camera.
Right.
There is a hardware story here, too, which, frankly, sounds pretty cool for the tech geeks.
Yes, and this is actually really exciting stuff, the Core PC architecture.
Let's talk about Core PC. It sounds like an engine part. What is it?
In a way, it is a new engine. Core PC is described as a modular architecture. For decades, Windows has been this massive, monolithic block of code.
The old Win32 legacy.
Right. Layers upon layers of code going back to Windows 95. It's heavy, it's slow, it's hard to secure. It's like a house that's had 50 additions built onto it without ever fixing the foundation.
Okay.
Core PC tries to break that up. It uses a concept called state separation.
State separation. That sounds technical.
It just means it separates the operating system, the plumbing, and the walls of the house from the user data and apps, which are like the furniture and the people. They live in different partitions.
So if the OS needs an update, it doesn't have to touch my apps or my data.
Exactly. It allows for seamless updates that happen in the background, kind of like your phone. It's faster, safer, cleaner. But the crucial link here, the reason Core PC matters for our AI discussion,
is efficiency.
It's efficiency. You can't run an AI eye smoothly if the underlying OS is a bloated mess. Core PC streamlines the foundation so the NPU can run the AI on top without, you know, crashing your computer or draining your battery in 20 minutes.
So the boring architectural stuff is what makes this scary AI stuff possible.
They are two sides of the same coin. Microsoft had to rebuild the foundation to support the weight of the AI.
And it's not just under the hood. The sources mentioned visual changes, too. Are we finally getting a real facelift?
A major one. The term they use is floating UI.
floating UI, like the taskbar isn't stuck to the bottom anymore.
Exactly. Imagine the taskbar and menus floating slightly by edge of the screen, almost like a dock on a mobile device, separated from the wallpaper.
That sounds very different.
It is, and it's heavily touch optimized. They're clearly expecting us to be touching our screens more, or maybe using new form factors like foldables.
It feels like they're trying to break away from the desktop metaphor we've had for, what, 40 years?
Mm-hmm. They are. Windows 12 seems to be trying to redefine what a computer is. Is it a file cabinet? Or is it an intelligent agent that lives in a floating glass pane?
That is the question. And I think that brings us to the synthesis of all this.
Yeah.
We've looked at the vision, the privacy fears, the laws, the hardware.
It's a complex picture, but the central tension is clear.
Right.
On one hand, you have this unprecedented productivity, a smarter assistant that knows what you need before you ask, and we shouldn't discount that. For people with accessibility needs or people just drowning in data, this could be a lifeline.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, if it saves me an hour a day of administrative nonsense, that's real value.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, you have what one analyst calls a wounded sense of privacy.
That is a powerful phrase. It suggests our privacy is already hurt, and this might be the blow that finishes it off.
It's a double-edged sword.
Completely. We're gaining a superpower, omniscient help, but the cost of that superpower is total transparency. Not transparency of the company, but transparency of us. We become transparent to the machine.
So here's the question for you listening right now. We really want you to think about this. Would you trade your screen's privacy for a truly proactive AI assistant?
If it meant never having to troubleshoot again, never searching for a file, never copy-pasting context, would you let the machine watch?
It's the ultimate convenience versus privacy test. And I want to leave you with one final thought, something to mull over that's been lurking under all of this.
Go on.
If the operating system can understand everything we do, if it's watching every keystroke, every video, every mistake we make while coding or writing, does that mean we lose the ability to ever truly be alone with our work?
That is a haunting thought. The solitary genius working late at night. That might be a thing of the past. There's always a witness in the room.
Always a witness.
Yeah.
That is going to stick with me. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. It is going to be a fascinating year.
It certainly is. Keep your eyes open, everyone.
We'll catch you in the next deep dive. Bye.